Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to Pretty Lies and Alibis. Let's seek the truth and travel the long road to justice together.
What you know, alibiers, welcome to another episode of Pretty Lies and Alibis. I'm Gigi. I'm home, and I'm home for good. Well, at least until Lori Vallow's trial starts next month. I'm going to be going up to Idaho and cover that a little bit for Law and Crime News. So I'm looking forward to that. Won't be up there for 6 weeks solid, though, I can tell you that. So I may come up every now and then. It's going to be a minimum of a 10-week trial. So definitely have some room to wiggle, to not be gone so much. All right, so we're going to talk about sentencing and also what can Alec expect making that transition from jail to prison? We covered this on a previous episode over a year ago. I've pulled those notes back out since we have so many new listeners, and we are going to go through some of the changes he can expect going from county jail to the big house. All right, got to give some thanks. Liz, Cindy, and April, KJ, Cherie, Cheryl, Annette, Carolyn, Renee, Suze, Breezy B, Jenny, Lindsay, Diane, Dawn, Bill, Lori, and Peggy. Thank you for your donations. You guys are amazing. Appreciate it. All right. Music fact of the day. I thought it was appropriate. Folsom Prison Blues by Johnny Cash. That was a number one hit for 4 weeks, and he made prison reform his political cause of choice and started performing in jails and prisons, doing about 12 shows a year for free, mostly in Folsom and San Quentin. Man, what a wild ride, y'all. It's crazy. So being from South Carolina, it was so cool to sit in this trial because this is my home state. And it was nice to be in there every single day to watch how this unfolded. And there were times where I thought, man, this doesn't look good for the defense. And there were times I thought, this isn't looking so good for the state. I will say, I've told everybody there are two holdouts on that jury. What did we find out? There were two holdouts. Okay, granted it was for 45 minutes, but I'm curious which ones they are, if it was the ones I thought it may be. So let's move to sentencing, and we will hop into this new change that he has coming. He really showed no emotion during the sentencing at all. Of course, we know Creighton Waters asked for two consecutive life sentences as expected. He said, it shows this man to be a cunning manipulator, a man who placed himself above all others, including his family, a man who violated the trust of so many, including his friends, his family, his partners, his profession, but most of all, Maggie and Paul. A man like that should never be allowed to be among free, law-abiding citizens again. Now, he does something here. He offers his condolences to the Murdoch family. And he says Maggie and Paul, like everyone else, was unaware of who Alec really was. No one really knew him. I've looked in his eyes. He liked to stare me down as he walked by me during this trial, and I could see the real Alec Murdoch. We've heard how sweet Maggie was. She dived into being a boy's mom, loved her sister, brother-in-law, but again, unaware of who her husband really was. He said that's chilling. None of the family also wished to speak. And I have to say, I understand it wasn't going to make a difference. It's not like Judge Newman is going to hear from anybody in the Murdoch family, including Buster, and have any mercy on Alec's sentencing. He's a convicted double murderer. That's life. It's death eligible but the state didn't go for death. I'm very curious now if they wish they had, because I really do think they could have got it. But as we know, death penalty these days are being used less and less and less. And I know South Carolina, I think we brought back like the firing squad or something. I'm not sure. It's not like it used to be, unless you live in Texas. If you're on death row in Texas, you should be probably pretty nervous. But yeah, so he'll spend life in prison, and we know there's a slew of other financial charges, over 90, close to 100, that he still hasn't been sentenced for, never getting out, and that was confirmed yesterday with the sentencing. One last thing was Creighton Waters talked about how proud he was of SLED. I know a lot of people have been very critical of the investigation, but at the end of the day, there's a conviction, and that's it. That's all they needed was a conviction. It doesn't matter at this point. Maybe some things to learn for the future, but they got their conviction, and onward and upward, move on to the next homicide they have to solve. Judge Newman, the defense just points out that Alec doesn't have any violent criminal history or something to that effect. Let me go back up. No prior record. Yeah, they couldn't say a violent history because he was convicted. So he has no prior record. Alec chose to speak. He said, "I'm innocent. I would never hurt Maggie or Paul Paul." Judge Newman said this has been one of the most troubling cases for him as a judge. He said, "We have a wife who's been killed, murdered, a son savagely murdered, a lawyer, a person from a respected family who has had control of justice in this community for over a century, a person whose grandfather's portrait hung in the back of the courthouse that I had to have ordered removed in order to ensure a fair trial was had." He said it was particularly troubling because as a member of the legal community, you practiced law before me, and we've seen each other at various occasions throughout the years. It was especially heartbreaking for me to see you go in the media from being a grieving father who lost his wife and son to being a person indicted and convicted of killing them. And you've engaged, oh Lord, autocorrect got me here in my notes, some kind of conduct here in the courtroom, here on the witness stand. Appeals are probably expected or absolutely expected. I would not expect a confession of any kind. Over the past century, your family, including you, have been prosecuting people here in this courtroom and may have received the death penalty, probably for lesser conduct. Woo, that was very pointed. Now, I have to say, for Judge Newman to be pretty much telling Alec Murdoch what he thought, he said it so eloquently. He's such a soft-spoken man. So it was almost pleasant, I mean, at least for us in there. Definitely not for Alec. But then he asked him, what did he mean by, oh, what a tangled web we weave? And Alec said, I meant that I lied and continued to lie. So what does Judge Newman say? The question is, when will it end? When will it end? He talks about the notice of alibi that was filed in the case in November. They had the pretrial hearing where he claimed to have not been at the kennels at the time the crime was committed. Then, after witnesses in the trial placed him at the scene of the crime, at the last minute or days, you switched courses and admitted to being there. You will reflect on the last time they, meaning Maggie and Paul, looked you in the eyes. And he said every, all day, all night, or something to that effect. Alec says, I'll tell you again, I respect this court, but I'm innocent, and I would never under any circumstances hurt my wife, Maggie, and I would never under any circumstances hurt my son, Paul. Judge Newman says, it might not have been you. It might have been the monster you've become. If you take 20, 40, 50, 60 opioid pills, you've become a different person. So then he was talking about the financial crimes that are upcoming that he will sit in on, but there are other victims whose cases deserve to be heard. This case has jumped some of the other cases. But amazingly, to have you come testify that it was just another ordinary day, that your wife and son and you were just enjoying life. It's not credible. It's not believable. You could convince yourself, but clearly you could not convince anyone else. That was it. So they take him. Alec was dressed in his tan. It was a Colleton County jail jumpsuit with his orange slides and white socks. Now, what happened yesterday after sentencing? South Carolina don't play. He was immediately taken to Kirkland Reception and Evaluation Center in Columbia. That's about an hour and a half from Walterboro, where the trial was held. He will be there about 30 to 45 days, and he will go to a maximum security prison. Where he's at right now at Kirkland is that houses death row, as well as the most violent criminals in the state of South Carolina. So a little bit about that facility. It receives, assesses, classifies, and assigns all male offenders age 17 and above, sentenced to 91 days or more. Combined, the R&E process receives approximately 8,000 offenders each year. Kirkland is the site for the maximum security unit that serves the state. The specialized housing unit is where the most dangerous and violent offenders are housed. In addition to the normal inmate population, Kirkland maintains the death row for the entire state. So what's going to happen to him while he's there? He'll get mental and physical health checks, I think dental health checks, education assessments, and other background investigations. They'll look into his past. There is an inmate classification system that uses these guidelines to determine where he will spend the rest of his sentence and also which custody level is needed. Although I think double murder, you're going to maximum. I don't think they would put you in a minimum or medium security facility if you've been convicted of double murder. He'll go to the big, big house. The department also takes into account what facilities may be best to deal with the inmates, including addiction treatment services. So it could be that if one of the maximums has a better treatment program, you know, they might send him there. One of the maximum securities actually is not far from me at all, like 20 minutes. So he can't have visitors for the first 30 days. Once moved to prison, he could be in segregation for a while. Number one, for his safety. Number two, to acclimate. Number three, because he's notorious. This has been a worldwide case. So a long time ago, back when Fruit Loop was hosting the podcast with me, we did this series called A Glimpse at Life. And what it is, I know somebody in the California prison system who is incarcerated for life. And she and I were just talking back and forth through the JPay email system. She's somebody I've known since I was probably seven. And so I told her, hey, look, I have a podcast. Would you mind giving me the ins on what life is like in prison? And she was like, yeah, I got nothing else to do. So it was really interesting to hear from her perspective what happens in prison now. She's in an all-female prison. Obviously, he's going to a male prison. But I think the themes are pretty consistent between the two. I think it's probably easy to say that it's pretty standard, maybe a little different kind of drama. Women tend to have that normal women drama that we, I say we, I don't like drama. But you've seen all the shows. If you've watched Orange is the New Black, I mean, it's kind of, you get that female drama. And I'm sure in the men's prisons, you get kind of the same, just probably the same. Look, men can be big babies too, right? So there's no telling. All right, so in county jail, well, the first thing that she told me is what you've seen like on documentaries or TV shows about prison, it's sensationalized and it's not reality. These documentaries that have real inmates, they always put on an act for the camera. It's not how day-to-day life goes in that prison. She said the only way you really know how it goes on the inside is to actually live it. So she said in county jail, high-profile inmates oftentimes will be isolated from other prisoners. We know Alec was housed in like a medical unit for a while. We've heard the jailhouse tapes, things like that. Those jailhouse tapes, y'all, if you haven't heard them, I recommend you go listen. Look, he was talking about winning some kind of a sports bet with other inmates, and he was so proud. He got 3 cups of soup and 2 beef sticks. I want to get that on a shirt. 3 cups of soup, 2 beef sticks. But the isolation away from other prisoners can be a blessing or a curse. The blessing being you're alone, no drama. The curse, you have no idea how to play the game when you actually go to prison because you haven't had to in county jail. Now, while awaiting your transfer to prison, this is the words that the person I know in prison wrote to me. You can only replay regrets and build your fear of what is to come. So in her case, she said during the months she was with other prisoners, she had a cellmate who had been to prison who actually tried to prepare her for what prison was like. She said it was helpful, but the reality is you absolutely cannot prepare yourself. You have to live it for a while. She said a kind of numbness sets after conviction and sentencing. This has been true for most of the inmates I've lived with and spoken to. You just want to get it over. The time on the transport bus is surreal. Fear and numbness take turns being in control. There are metal shackles on your waist and ankles for the ride, and I was in a cage similar to what you saw on Con Air. We've all seen the cage that he is put in the back of that black van. He was likely transferred in that very van. So you're given a lice wash, and she said that smell lingers for days. Now, we know that Alec, if you look at the bottom, if you're on YouTube, if you look at the bottom here, that's his new mugshot. They shaved his head. That is usually just to make sure you're not bringing in any creepy crawlies in your hair. But yeah, oh man, I've seen movies where they like throw this powder on you and stuff, but intake is to the point with staff asking point blank, hey, if you die, who do we call? After processing, you're given a bedroll and sent to your building cell. For the most part, the first few days and weeks can be at a temporary building with other new intakes as the processing continues. She said there, reception is vicious. Cases involving children are encouraged by staff to lie. But later on, it'll get you a little tail whipped because they'll say you're a coward and you were lying. So it's kind of a, you know, do you, don't you? It seems like there would just be kind of either way. Now, here's the thing with Alec. He's a smart man in some regards. Definitely not a smart criminal, but a smart man. I think he might do better in prison than we think. We think he's kind of a spoiled rich man who just is thrust into this unknown world. But I do think the way he is able to manipulate people will help him in prison. He's tall. He's 6'4", and I will tell you, you really see how huge this guy is in person. Very tall. Who knows? I mean, maybe he can't throw a punch. I have no clue, but somebody that big, it kind of makes me feel like maybe he might not be so much of a target, but then you hear 50-50. If somebody's very notorious, everybody kind of wants to hang out with them because they're kind of famous in jail. But at the same time, those notorious inmates can also be targets because some people might just want the badge if they're lifers of saying, hey, I took out Alec Murdoch, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, it's kind of a 50-50, I think. If the attacks become life-threatening, then the staff will move the person into protective custody. And she said the adjustment is just huge. It's a shock to the system, and it's the first time you realize once you're in that prison acclimation period that you are a lifer. This is your reality. Ain't no getting out of it. In jail, she said she had hope while awaiting trial. You think in the back of the mind, maybe you'll be acquitted at trial and leave jail and just go rejoin the world. But once the bus opens its doors, the shackles come off, you're placed in a group holding cell. You are strip searched altogether in one room. People are questioning each other about their cases, what time they have, their affiliations with any gangs or anything like that. They have medical and psych exams. Some prisons have dental exams. And for a lot of the first time, the inmates, it was the first time they ever went to a dentist was in that first week in prison in the intake. In jail, you dream of what you might do if you get out. Who you will see, where you will eat, what you'll wear. But when a life without parole sentence is handed down, you feel like your life is really over and it hits like a ton of bricks. You feel like an alien walking in with the other new arrivals. Everyone stares, tries to size you up. You feel like you're on display and you have no privacy, none. When you use the potty, when you shower, somebody is always nearby. On average, she said it takes new inmates a couple of years to really feel comfortable. Now, she's been in for 10 years now, and so she definitely understands and now sees the new ones comes in and how they react. Prison overload is the overwhelming feeling of helplessness or any area of owning your own life. The rules, the people, the overcrowded conditions, the substandard food, mediocre medical care, the yelling, the fighting, the bickering, the pettiness, the drunk idiots raising a ruckus, grown adults acting like immature children, the coldness of people and your environment, and the endless days and endless nights, the loneliness, the smells, the tastes, the sounds, the fact that it feels like each day will never end. Sometimes it's so chaotic from sunup to sundown, it fills the air so bad you can taste it. Prison is scary, humiliating, and humbling. You're not in control of a single element of your life except your private thoughts. One inmate described going to prison as being in a hostile community. You don't know anything about the language or the customs when you first get there. On days when prison overload hits, it feels so heavy that addiction, self-harm, and self-sabotage all become real options. Sleep is an actual addiction, as is drugs, alcohol, food, coffee, etc. Now, they can get contraband smuggled in. I don't know. Maximum security, it might be harder, but I mean, people get cell phones all the time in prison. It just, I don't know. I wonder how people get that stuff in. So she talks about prison being constantly loud. You never have a moment, a second of it being absolutely quiet. In jail, it's quieter at times. And the adjustment going from jail to prison, which is never totally quiet, it drives you insane. They don't have earplugs in prison, but tissue or toilet paper shoved in your ears can work okay enough. The homesickness is consuming. You can't prepare for it or avoid it. She sees most people actually lose their religion than gain it in prison. You know, it seems like everybody finds Jesus or whoever they're going to find in prison. But she said the reality is most people lose religion in prison. What adversely affects the staff will eventually adversely affect the inmate, such as lockdown, short staff. Everybody's locked down. Can't help it. In jail, while she was awaiting trial, she would stay in her bunk away from others to avoid drama, and that was easy. In jail, your laundry was brought to you, and only low levels went to the chow hall, the library, and classes, so it was pretty safe if you were allowed out. But in prison, unless someone was in the SHU, which is the segregation unit where you're by yourself, or locked down, you are mingling with every type of personality you can imagine. And guess what? You can't do nothing about it. You have to deal with it. You can't ask to be moved or sent to another cell block. And if you could, it would be the same thing there anyways. There's an unwritten code of prison you're supposed to know but are never taught, which is how to deal with unpleasant people, which guards have pet peeves and how not to set them off and how not to make yourself vulnerable. I do think Alec will be fine with the guards. If I've noticed anything in the last 6 weeks, and you guys are going to think I'm crazy, he is very charming with staff, members of the courthouse, the deputies. He is very pleasant to them and they exchange smiles or pleasantries with him. I do think that he's smart enough that he might do okay, especially if he can get on the guard's good side. If you come in with a chip on your shoulder and disrespect people initially or act high and mighty, you are a huge target. Some inmates will do things early on to deflate all that. If somebody comes in thinking they're better than anybody, and you think about that, this is somebody who had law enforcement in his back pocket. The family had law enforcement kind of at their disposal for quite a long time. Now, he really is equal to the guy in the cell who grew up the exact opposite from him, maybe in an abusive, terrible home, poverty-stricken, no education. And then you have somebody like Alec who had multi-million dollar properties, had multi-million dollar years that he made outright on his own. And then all the money he stole, some of these people would never earn that much if they live five lives in a row. But the minute he walks in prison, he is absolutely the same as that dude over there who grew up the exact opposite. It is probably a big slice of humble pie coming his way. Also, you may never know who an inmate is friends with, and while it may not bother the recipient of the disrespect, she has seen their friends take over the punishment. In other words, if he were to pop off about this dude over here, not knowing that dude by his side is friends, they might just start wailing on him. You can't bring anything with you except the clothes on your back, prescription, eyeglasses, and a list of medications you take from your doctor. Initially, during her transition from jail to prison, she had a hard time resolving in her mind that she'll never get to hug her family. She would lose everybody she loved one by one, and all she could do was sit in her cell. Some days felt endless, with 24 hours feeling like a month. She said one confusing thing was learning the schedule for unlocking the cells. There's an announcement over the PA, and if you miss it, you miss it. It's supposed to be at the same time every day, but it never is, according to her. Now, this is very specific to her prison, but I have heard from other people who have been in prison, it's kind of universal. All these things that she says from a women's prison, doesn't matter if you're in a men's prison in South Carolina or a women's prison in California, some things are just very universal. They don't open the doors for anybody. So let's say you sleep through, when they open up and shut, you're in for hours and they're not going to let you out. Oops, sorry. See you at lunch. The first month in prison, Alec's not going to like this. No commissary. So you don't have anything other than clothing and chow meals, no TV, no radio or clock. Sometimes new arrivals have to give 50, which is giving half of your first few commissary purchases. Every good deed done by another inmate has a price. Not much is from the kindness of hearts in prison. So for her, wake up time, 6 a.m., and that comes with staff change. They come over the intercom and give the instructions for wake up. She said it's never really dark in your cell and you have to hear everyone's snores and bodily functions all night long. Sounds nice. Not. Prison is full of manipulators. This is where I think Alec will do well. I think he will be very successful at manipulating people. However, that can backfire for reasons we can all imagine. A lot of people enter prison thinking they have the advantage if they were particularly good at manipulating on the outside. But inside, you are most likely to be inexperienced and terrible at manipulating other inmates. Some of these people have been in and out their entire lives.
Let me tell you all about our sponsor of the week, Prose. There's no one-size-fits-all solution when it comes to hair care, and that's because your hair and your hair goals are completely unique. My hair is dry and frizzy. I wanted to get rid of these problems. Thanks to my personalized Prose routine, I can honestly say I've never been in more love with my hair. First, Prose asked me for my hair goals, which was smoother hair with color protection. Their in-depth consultation also asks about you as a person. Prose asked me really unexpected things like my age, hair length, do I get split ends, and even my zip code, so that Prose can factor in the environment my hair lives in. Next, Prose analyzed all my answers and handpicked clean ingredients to help me reach my hair goals. I use the Scalp Remedy, Clarify and Cleanse Color Extending Shampoo, and the Smoothing Solution Volume Building Conditioner. I also use the Boris Hairbrush that makes my hair super smooth. My hair is completely different. The frizz is gone and it's so much softer. All their ingredients are sustainably sourced, ethically gathered, and cruelty-free. They're also the first custom beauty brand to go carbon neutral. If you're not 100% positive Prose is the best care hair you've had, they will take the products back, no questions asked. Prose is the key to achieving all your hair goals this year. Take your free in-depth hair consultation and get 15% off your first order today. Go to prose.com/whattheworld. That's Prose, prose.com/whattheworld for your free in-depth hair consultation and 15% off. At the start of the year, I always have the best intentions. This year, my main goal is to eat healthier. One thing I know I can check off my New Year's to-do list is eating well thanks to Daily Harvest. Daily Harvest delivers delicious harvest bowls, soups, flatbreads, snacks, smoothies, lattes, and more, built on organic fruits and vegetables. And they work directly with farmers to source the best ingredients. Freezes them at peak ripeness to lock in flavor and nutrients, and they never use artificial preservatives or ingredients. With nourishing and easy-to-prep options, I never have to think twice about what to eat for my next meal, snack, or dessert.
Everything stays fresh in my freezer until I'm ready to enjoy it, helping me reduce food waste. I personally love the artichoke and spinach flatbread. Daily Harvest is committed to human and planetary health, which means they do their absolute best to ensure transparency and integrity when it comes to their ingredients and the humans who grow them. If eating well is a goal for 2023, let Daily Harvest support you on the journey. Go to dailyharvest.com/prettylies to get up to $40 off your first box. That's dailyharvest.com/prettylies for up to $40 off your first box. dailyharvest.com/prettylies. You know your girl's been lacking in the sleep department lately, but I found something that helps me sleep much better when I do sleep. Who knew that a better pillowcase is all you need for better sleep? Let's talk about practicing self-care while you sleep. Set yourself up with better sleep this year with Blissey's award-winning 100% mulberry silk pillowcases. It gives you better hair and skin. Seriously, silk, it's what's best for your hair and skin. It reduces frizz, tangles, and prevents breakage. That's because it keeps the moisture in your hair and your skincare products and natural moisture on your skin, unlike cotton does. You can say goodbye to wrinkly, dry, flaky skin in the morning and wake up with healthier and shinier hair that won't take you an hour to fix. Blissey's pillowcase regulates temperatures, keeping you cool at night. You don't have to flip the pillow anymore, thank goodness. Unlike other silk pillowcases, these are the highest quality silk. And guess what? They're machine washable and durable. Valentine's Day is coming up, so why not give the gift of better sleep? Plus, it comes in gift-ready packaging they'll be sure to love. I love that the pillow stays cool, I don't have to flip it, and no more sleep lines. Everybody loves them. They have a ton of different prints and colors, and they make great gifts because there's an option for literally anyone. Hey, men, they love them too. They have over 1 million raving fans, and you need to be next. Try now, risk-free for 60 nights at blissey.com/whattheworld. Get an additional 30% off. That's Blissey, blissy.com/whattheworld, and use code whattheworld to get 30% off. Your skin and your hair will thank you.
Especially people who are coming in for the first time, they seem to think, I got a one-up, I'm smart, I've been to college, I'm a lawyer. I got these guys. Most of the time, it doesn't take long for that to be realized by the old inmates, and they are essentially stripped bare on that level. You have to earn respect in prison, and it does not come quick. So in jail, he probably wasn't able to go outside. In prison, you can go outside, but as you know, you can't just wander around and take a leisurely stroll in any area you want. Areas are claimed oftentimes by races or gangs. It's the same with chow hall. Nobody cares how powerful or successful you were on the outside. In prison, you are mixed in with severely mentally ill inmates, homeless inmates, blue collar, and super wealthy on the outside inmates. If you let it be known you come from money, guess what? You're targeted for many reasons, especially favors in the form of having your family on the outside put money on the books for other inmates. Suicide attempts are common in the first few months for inmates. If those who are struggling don't attempt suicide, she said most really do check out emotionally at minimum. She's seen people almost comatose, just gone, just not able to adjust quickly. They may be moved to a mental unit, but almost always they come back. There's just too many people dealing with that level of emotion for staff to deal with. So you're integrated into prison and you cross your fingers that you aren't the victim of some random attack. Using drugs is also a common way to check out emotionally. She's seen middle-class and high-society women come in for nonviolent crimes with no history of drug use, and in no time, they've been addicted to hard drugs. The reality of prison is sometimes too much for people to come to terms with, so they turn to substance, which, if it's available, and you're a lifer, it might be hard to try to stay clean if it's available in prison because But then again, he claims to, well, he says he's been clean for over 500 days and he's very proud of that. But you think about it, you get hooked on something in prison and then it's not like you can just hop in your car and go get more when you're out. Seems like such a gamble. Number one, you don't know what you're taking. Good grief. I mean, just get it from random places. But also, what happens when you're back into full-blown addiction and then you got to withdraw all over again? The higher profile criminal, the more you're targeted. People get very jealous if your case made you known far and wide. Breaking that persona is one of the very first things to happen to new, more infamous inmates. She said, if you hurt a kid, it's even worse. Some high-profile inmates will find a group that offers them physical protection, but the verbal and emotional abuse never stops causing the inmate to constantly expect something to happen to them. She said, prison seems like you're trapped in the drama of high school, but you don't go home at the end of the day. In jail, you mostly have free time. Some meet with their lawyers more often than others. So free time isn't always all day for some. But in prison, things are much more uniformed with scheduled times to be out in common areas. Where this girl is, you're required to attend programs such as jobs, school, or treatment programs. If you don't show up, you get written up and there are consequences. So in her bunk, there are eight people. Now, this was during COVID, so I think that they just were trying to pile them in so they could isolate the COVID unit. But there were eight living in a 19 by 24 foot cell. It had two sinks and a toilet, no privacy. That toilet right there in plain view of everybody. So you got a bad stomach ache, everybody is going to hear and see and smell what you're doing. She said no body function is private. Oh, man, you can get on people's bad lists real quick for things like if it smells up the cell, or if you need some gas X, but, you know, you can't afford it from the commissary. You get my drift, y'all. Those two things can really, really get you hurt. Dangling your feet off the top bunk can get your nose busted. That is actually a sign of really deep disrespect. But she said the culture shock is the worst of her life. Everything is different, and there's nothing on the inside that functions as it does on the outside. First-timers frequently fall into a consuming depression. The first few months in prison is a jolt to every sense you have. Jail doesn't prepare you for prison in the least at all. Two totally different worlds. Your body releases a lot of stress and hormones. Stress hormones and adrenaline on a constant basis, which causes all kinds of mental health issues. She's seen a lot of new arrivals constantly on edge, jumping in fear with loud noises, which are very commonplace, and also when an argument breaks out. She's seen fights break out with new arrivals that wouldn't have happened if defense hormones coupled with stress weren't at play. Some new arrivals are hypersensitive and add punishment for acting out to a knee-jerk reaction, which is fueled by hormones, and your first few days can be really traumatic if you kind of pop off because you're stressed. In jail, you don't talk about your case to anybody. Another inmate could turn around and use that obviously to their advantage for a lighter sentence if you admit things that the prosecutor would want to hear. The prisoners who are first-timers have the most challenging acclimation. She's seen new arrivals to prison cry in the corner for weeks until they finally accept their fate. People who are in for nonviolent crimes have the hardest time adjusting, which now Alec is in for violent crimes. Newbies almost always make two mistakes: asking someone what they're in for and how long they have on their sentence. You'd be surprised the number of people who haven't memorized phone numbers and forget they can't pull their phone out. She has seen absolute breakdowns when new inmates realize they don't know any numbers to make that first call you crave after intake. If you're extra chummy with the guards, it's a huge red flag for other inmates, though. We talked about how I think Alec will be fine with the guards, but might put him on some radar. A lot of new arrivals lose weight, but once you're more comfortable, weight gain is a huge risk in prison because the food that you get from the commissary is not healthy. It's literally, y'all, like dollar store food. It is bad. And I've done an episode on the commissary list of a prison here in South Carolina. I need to repost that maybe. If you stay in your cell, you don't get much exercise at all. You could be on lockdown for days or weeks because with COVID, there was an outbreak or also staff shortages. For her, she gets up and walks 7 steps to the restroom, followed by 5 steps to the sink, 5 steps to the bed, followed by 7 steps to the shower. So you see, in prison, he will have more outdoor time. But like you say, you got to find your group. You can't just go wandering all over. You might invade somebody's turf and you're going to have problems. When someone is having a mental health episode, it can keep the entire block up all night long. You can't turn on anything to drown out the noise, and newer inmates struggle to adapt to these situations, and it can be very scary. I asked her if there's a lot of fakers of mental illness in there, and she said not as many as you would think, because actually the psych unit is worse than just being in gym pop. She said most will make that mistake one time and one time only to fake mental illness to go to the psych ward. And she said that typically, once they see how bad it is there, they are ready to get back to gym pop. She said it's hard to spot the fakers because people are really good at faking. Also, some have been faking since they were children and just are it comes so natural. They might forget, like, but she said the best way to spot a faker is when they slip up. They might forget their tick is on the left-hand side and not the right. They might cry with no tears. Where have we heard that? They claim anxiety, but their pupils are not dilated and their body is calm. They'll have every single symptom in the book. But here, honestly, a lot of fakers love to boast and teach how they did it so that others can become fakers too. Crisis is when they strip you down and give you a Velcro dress. You're placed in a room with staff sitting outside your door and watching you 24/7 until that psych hold is released. You must ask for toilet paper each time you need it. Nothing in the room but a plastic bunk and a toilet. In county jail, the toilet was a hole in the ground and the staff flushed it. Ugh. You're not allowed utensils to eat with when you're in segregation due to mental health issues. Even plastic, which we have in prison, no metal. People in crisis are giving a cardboard scoop to eat with. Some fakers will say they feel like they want to hurt themselves so they can get the psych to take them serious, or for sympathy from friends and lovers. They are careful to time it so they don't have to stay in for more than 24 hours. They can keep you up to 72 on a 5150 hold, which is an involuntary psych hold. If the unit stinks of human filth, as does the medical and elderly unit from people who are incontinent. The inmates react violently and break windows sometimes in the psych unit. All the furniture is solid and bolted to the floor. There are timeout cages in the day room and the lobby. They're 7 feet tall and about 3 to 4 feet wide on each side. People are locked in them when they become disruptive. Mental health patients eat in the chow hall, but usually go last because of high risk of outburst, which will delay the rest of the yard having their meal. If someone gets unruly and needs to be pepper sprayed on the unit, you're likely to get a whiff of it and have your own symptoms. When there's a fight in the cell block common areas, everyone has to get belly down on the ground until the nurse checks injuries to see if any of the inmates are injured. Sometimes that can take 30 minutes or more to get the nurse there and to check those inmates out. So you may be 30 minutes to an hour laying on your stomach in a cold cell. Troublemakers can essentially cause punishment for the entire block. If there are frequent fights, there we go, or disruptions, it can cause people who are not involved to not get their mail, their canteen, or their free time. Not being able to choose an outfit or be able to go where you want, when you want, are examples of little things that grate on you. The little things become big when it's a daily reminder that your life is not your own and never will be again. Sometimes little things cause your spirit to break, not necessarily big things. Keeping prisoners busy cuts down on drama. Because of prisoners being kept busy, this can cut down on the amount of time you have in the evenings to make calls during your unit's time to call loved ones. which leads to drama if one person hogs the phone. Boy, he likes to call and talk for like the extended time. He's going to have the commissary money. He's going to have all the money on his JPay account. He'll get his little tablet. She has a tablet where she can download little games and apps that play games, emails. They can do video chat on those. You can do voice calls on those. At one point, the tablets were taken away, and when I would email her, she would have to go to a kiosk and it would print out for her. COVID has dramatically changed how the prison functions. Staff shortages have increased the amount of time the inmates have outside their cells. Some of the lockdowns lasted weeks, and that's for any outbreak of any disease or virus, like just a stomach virus. She said those things move through units like nothing. And she said there's nothing more miserable than a whole block of people that's got it coming out one end or the other or both, because she said it is just miserable. It's terrible. If you've got a puke and your cellmate's doing something, you've got to figure something out. She said when there's extended periods of lockdown, there's increased cell drama between people who are stir crazy, and you can't escape it. If one person gets a stomach virus or something, or during COVID, if one person tested positive, the entire unit was sent to an isolation building for quarantine. She said as lockdowns get more frequent, so does the making of hooch. They use anything from candy, beets, corn, and fruit to make it. She said when it's finished, it's a little bit stronger than wine. In jail, the officers are deputies first, then employees. In prison, they're employees first and correctional officers second. In prison, you can get away with a little bit more as long as you aren't hurting anyone or interfering with their job. She said, for the most part, if correctional officers enforced every single little thing, they would never stop writing people up for small infractions. And apparently, they don't like writing people up. So you're going to be on their list if you're frequently getting written up. She also said friendship is the risk of codependency. She said, I see couples who will sabotage their mate's chance to go home so they won't be alone. That's not something Ellick will have to worry about as far as going home. It's called taking someone's date. You kind of set them up to get written up, which costs you days. A parole board will roll a person over 1, 3, 5 years or more for a single write-up if it's close to parole. A rollover is when the board denies to release someone and sets their next evaluation for years in the future. Friendships, making friends in prison, you risk financial, emotional, physical, psychological, and freedom days. Yeah, human nature compels us to make friends. She said it's very bittersweet when a friend gets paroled because you're happy for them, but lifers don't have the potential to get out. And when someone leaves, it's a reminder that person's never going to be you. Friendships in prison, for the most part, are just convenience. You are forced to live together with people whose personalities may be completely opposite of yours. Most friendships last only in prison. She said, for the most part, you can spend years with somebody all day, every day, only to never hear from them again when they're paroled. It's a reminder that on the outside, you probably would have never hung out with this person, but on the inside, you're thick as thieves. And that's just survival. There are packs of men and women who do everything together in prison. And for the most part, friends in prison fulfills the needs of the moment. She said, you're part of a game, even if you don't want to play. So a prison sentence is set at 80%. That's not really Alex. He is natural life, so he will definitely never get out. She said, interestingly enough, most inmates do not lose sleep over their crimes, but see themselves as the victim due to the fact that they're incarcerated. She said, unlike on TV, it's not a daily fight for survival from other inmates. It's a daily fight with the boredom, homesickness, and other self-inflicted things. The potential for violence, very real though, and it adds another layer of constant stress you never shake. The number of people who have had severely traumatic childhoods is more often than not. She said it's not surprising a lot of these inmates ended up where they did. Many were abused, abandoned, raised by addicts, or had parents who were incarcerated themselves. And she said it results in a cycle of offending from generation to generation. At the same time, you have people like her who never saw a courtroom a day in their life and was a law-abiding citizen until the wrong choice changed all that. One fellow inmate was an educator until she tried drugs. It all started taking Valium and Xanax for stress, and her source started giving her other things to try. And once addicted, she's in for robbery and left behind a very normal marriage and mom life until drugs took over. Nobody in her family had a history. So you see that, like, he's got such an adjustment coming. He has no clue what he's in for. He's never been in prison. There's nothing you can do to prepare yourself. In prison, for women, Kool-Aid powder. That can make hair dyes. Pencils, hair curlers, or you can use those bars. Just, we wonder how Lori Vallow gets her curls she wraps around in bars. The clothes on your back will likely be the only tangible items you physically bring when you go to prison. Other than prison-issued clothing, you get shoes and bedding. Typically also one razor, two bars of soap, a styrofoam cup, a toothbrush, one small tube of toothpaste or tooth powder, and then one small pencil upon arrival to prison. Man, wow. Just insane. So for dining, she said you might be able to take one piece of unpeeled fruit back to your cell only on weekends at her place, back to the unit. It must be eaten prior to the next meal, and excess fruit and food items will be compensated because you gotta make hooch. All right, commissary. Let's talk about that because we know Alec likes his soups and his beef sticks. The average income per year for a prisoner is around $180, and up to $660, the higher amount is not common, and those are for people who have been really there for a long time. Now, here's the interesting thing. Alec is at some point going to be required probably to pay restitution. That affects your commissary. So any money that's put on your books, the prison gets a ton of that money, and it goes to your victims. I think when the financial crimes, either he pleads guilty or I don't think he's going to take all those to trial. Who knows? But it's like if somebody puts $100 on his commissary, he might get $15 of that. I don't know the spread or how it goes. For her, they have what they call quarterly boxes. Some prisons do this. There is a weekly amount you can spend between $40 and $80. They have access to things like they can get Adidas slides. Some prisons have certain things. You can get religious necklaces. Just pretty much anything you might see at a Dollar Tree is essentially like what I kind of liken it to. Most rumors are taken as truth, and truth is discounted as rumor. This can lead to drama all day. There is a de-evolution process in prison. You slowly shed the outside, and on the inside, you find yourself getting more primitive. In prison, you battle the people inside you, the individual and the prisoner. Some days, all you can do is just be human. She's seen people in for a couple of years slowly descend into absolute madness, and she sees personality changes. And by the time they leave, she said they're unrecognizable from the person they came in as. The bunks are hard and have a thin vinyl mattress. A lot of inmates have physical pain on a daily basis due to this. People who have committed crimes against children are huge targets. I mean, just big time. She's actually in the same prison as, oh man, what's that documentary? It was so devastating. Gabriel Fernandez. She is in the same prison as Gabriel Fernandez's mother, by the way, this person that I know. And I've lost me place. You guys know how I am. She said prisoners, by the way, love true crime shows. They'll sit and watch them. I cannot think of anything I would not want to rather watch. I mean, really, can you even imagine sitting in prison watching true crime? A lot of the prison population are in gangs, and it started young, sometimes as early as 8 that she has seen. This gives you a group to keep you safe, but oftentimes you're in debt to them. Speaking of being in debt to somebody, the new arrivals are often super desperate to find a group to hang with, and they are preyed upon. They're seen as being desperate. So the smallest acts that may seem kind often come with a price to pay to return that favor. Sometimes it could be, hey, you got to do my laundry, or as big as you need to go hurt this person or take these drugs to this cell. The person who loaned whatever it is will be the one giving the terms for repayment. She has seen physical violence, doubling up what you owe, and things like that as forms of repayment. You only have certain places you're allowed to be at during certain times. If you get caught in an area you're not allowed to be in, that's an infraction. You'll be written up. Privilege is taken away. Typically, it's phone and canteen privileges that are taken away. If you take away his phone and his canteen, he might go mad. The toll on families who visit, it's very hard. There's a lot of hoops to jump through, and sometimes it takes hours for your family to actually get to that visitation. And you have, they are searched. Sometimes there's bus transport to the facility. It's not like you can just pull in there and go yourself. And then waiting for the actual visitation. Some families sacrifice a whole weekend for an hour of visitation, but if you get in trouble right before your scheduled visit, it can be taken away in an instant and all their troubles are for nothing. Or you get some bad seeds in your pod, you get locked down. Doesn't matter, you are innocent, you don't get your visitation. When prisoners complain about the food, the conditions, or anything, the famous phrase they hear is, deal with it. This is prison. If you don't like it, don't come. The standard issue of prison clothing is underwear, socks, and usually a jumpsuit or scrub top and bottoms. They're not guaranteed to fit, nor are they good or comfortable quality. You can order things from the commissary if you have somebody putting money on your books. The prison gives this person 5 pairs of underwear every 6 months. And a lot of times the sizes are wrong and they're cheaply made, so they're itchy or they don't last. So about restitution. Okay, here's the example. If you have $100 in your account, you could end up with $12 after restitution is taken out. This can go on endlessly if your restitution is a large amount. So for example, this person I know makes 15 cents an hour and her restitution is expected to be paid in full in 100 years. Can you imagine $10 million, y'all? Because think about it. Even though the insurance companies did pay to recompensate some of Alec's victims, these attorneys that work at his firm have had to take out loans. His own brother has had to pay back some of this money. I do feel when the financials come around as restitutions, he'll have to be in prison 1,000 years to pay it back. But it's crazy. But if that's the case, here's the thing. And we've already heard Alec do this. You can find someone you trust and have family put money on their books and get them to order. That was one in one of the jail calls where he was calling, I believe, his sister-in-law, his brother's wife, to say, hey, I need this done in 10 minutes. This is the guy's name. And he doesn't get commissary. And I guess $60 a week wasn't enough, or a month. I forgot, was it 60 a month? The inmate jobs include porters, which are janitors, clerical. You can have kitchens, table wipers, line servers, cooks, central kitchen, which is like your bakers, your food prep, dock workers. And then you have the Prison Industry Association. They do optical, textiles, healthcare, facility management, construction, and assistant to disability inmates. Or disabled inmates. Pay begins at 4 cents an hour and goes to $1 an hour where she's at. So I'm not sure I'm going to look up what maximum security prisons in South Carolina do, whether they have like a little store that you have stand in line to go to or quarterly boxes. So number one, canteen items are overpriced and not good quality. The food, slap full of carbs and salt. So the weight gain in prison is super common. The one thing I have noticed is since the start of trial, Alec started looking really sickly towards the end. And I'm sure stressed knowing that, I don't know. I mean, I really would like to know if he thought that he was going to be found innocent or not. But your commissary or quarterly box delivery, it can be delayed for a million reasons that there's not a darn thing you can do about it. Prison food, way worse than jail food. Meals are usually cold. And by the time you sit down, they're wet from the condensation. Power in prison, very rare. These people with the most power are the ones who can provide their skills to other inmates or someone who always has something of value, such as plenty of canteen money. Once someone has been in a position of authority, more times than not, they become monsters. Can you guys not see Alec Murdoch becoming the prison lawyer, advising people on appeals and that kind of thing? That's why I think somebody like him might, once he acclimates, might do okay in prison. It might give him purpose. And then he can just walk around and seem like he's the coolest dude there. But it affects people and that can backfire too. Some inmates have bonds with correctional officers after decades of being around each other. That can lead to rule bending and preferred treatment. While other inmates can get insanely jealous of this, they rarely act out on that jealousy because the last thing you want to do is tick off an inmate who has a bond with a corrections officer. She said, prison is endless with no destination. At some point, you go into survival mode and your needs for survival change at a moment's notice. If you have hearings about your case while incarcerated and don't attend, it can take over a week to learn the results of your hearing. The girl I know, she doesn't leave her cell hardly ever. She doesn't even leave the prison for doctor's appointments because she said just seeing outside the prison would be a detriment to her mental health knowing she has to go back. She said, there's plenty of drama on a daily basis, but for the most part, it's just boring and routine. And that is kind of how she explained prison to me. Now, I may pull some stuff this week and kind of reformat this glimpse at life because I think it's relevant. It's what everybody's kind of wondering now that we have the guilty verdict. He's sentenced to two consecutive life terms in prison. What's it going to be like? And unless you've been in there, you don't know. And I ain't been in there, y'all. So I'm relying on somebody who is currently in there. All right, guys, we'll see you on Monday. I'm looking forward to a day tomorrow of, I'm not even setting an alarm. Y'all, I might wait. I'm going to go to sleep here soon. Grammy went home tonight, by the way. Can I just say, bless her heart. She's been such a huge help and she's been so much, she's been back to normal for a few weeks now. And I really thought she was going to stay with me, but she's like, well, maybe I'll go back home. So I'm actually going over to her house to take all of her stuff. My mom's with her now. I'm so sad, y'all. I'm going to try to convince her to sell her house and just build on mine so she can be with me forever because I'm just going to worry about her all night now. Is she okay? All right, y'all. Thanks to all the new listeners. Please stick with me. We've got a lot coming up in 1 month. Literally maybe 1 month from today. So Lori Vallow's trial, that is severed. I'm going to do a big catch-up episode on Monday for Brian Koberger, Lori Vallow, Dylan Rounds. There's been an arrest in his murder. So relieved to hear that. Monday's going to be a big catch-up episode. So those are going to be three of the cases I'm following right out of the Murdoch gate. But at the same time, I will be following Murdoch still. There'll be some news to come out, I think. And also, we're going to, 1 month from today, I literally could be on a plane to Idaho. My son, so her trial starts April 3rd. It was severed last week. Her and Chad will not be tried together anymore. I was absolutely shocked. But her trial starts April 3rd. She did not waive her right to a speedy trial. So they had to do it. They had to sever. There's some outstanding DNA, I believe, that's affecting the defense being able to test for Chad. And so Judge Boyce couldn't delay Lori because that would be a constitutional violation and a huge risk of her, you know, having these charges just go away. So I think it was the right choice. It probably wasn't the easiest choice, but look, we never want to do anything to where either of them get out on a technicality. I hate it for Kay and Larry and everybody in that family on all sides who's going to have to sit through two of these, but you know what? Sit through two instead of sitting through one while the other walked free because their right to a speedy trial was denied. So this is a strong family. They got this. But 1 month, y'all, less than a month now, Lori Vallow would go to trial. Seems like forever she's been arrested. That's the case that launched this podcast. So I really wish they would televise it. But I will be up there as much as I possibly can once my kids get out of school in May. Really thinking about just renting a house up there for the rest of the trial. It's supposed to last 10 weeks, I think longer. It never goes. Remember, Murdoch was supposed to be 3 weeks, and here we are nearly at 7. So I do think that one will take a little bit longer too. So that's where I'll be next. I'll cover that some for Law and Crime, always for the podcast. Podcast not going anywhere, y'all. I've had a lot of messages, which, by the way, I'm planning on diving into. I don't think I've checked my inbox in 6 weeks, y'all. My day started at 6 a.m. and did not end sometimes until 2 a.m. I have 89 text messages I haven't even read, but I've just been tired, everybody. So if I haven't answered you, I'm not ignoring you. I don't even want to know how many messages I have, but I'm going to start ticking those away. I love reading everybody's messages. Thank you guys for the compliments for the Law and Crime stuff I did. It was new, but I had a really great time, and it was so fun learning something new. So I'm going to do it for Lori Vallow, Chad Daybell. Can't wait to see everybody up there. A lot of alibiers up there, a lot of precious people to me. So the train don't stop, y'all. We're just going to keep on going down the track. But for tomorrow, this girl's stopping, and I'm just going to lay on the couch with my youngest, and my teenagers will probably be like, yeah, we'll see you later. That's all good. It's how it should be, right? Okay, guys, we'll see you Monday. Have a good rest of your weekend.